The title of this message is, The Lord is My Shepherd. Psalm 23, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Several years ago, a man sat me down and he asked me a question. Very mild-mannered man, a man in the ministry, very solid man, Christ. It took me a little by surprise. He said to me, "So, what's your story?" I was a little taken back. I said, "What do you mean, what's my story? What was your journey like before you came to saving faith in Jesus Christ?" He says, "Oh, okay, you mean my testimony?" "Yeah." Well, turns out he asked everyone, I found out this. He used to sit and say, "So what's your story?" And if we all shared our testimonies in here today, we all had a journey. We all have stories. And it's very interesting that there'd be many different stories represented here with different details, different dates, different themes, different countries, different cities in some cases. And though not even hearing your testimony, I could say one thing about your story. God was faithful. God is your faithfulness. And as we sang that song, "You authored my story," that's pretty interesting. God Almighty was leading me, I told him, and guiding my life before I even realized it. Now, looking back now on my journey, I remember back in the days, I'm sure you will as well, before I came to saving faith. I remember the different twists and turns that life took. Things did not go as I had expected, or things did not go as I planned or wanted. And I say in this pulpit today, thank God, praise you, Lord. I give thanks to God for that. I realize today that someone else was writing my story. It seemed as if the journey was being navigated by someone else, probably a year before I came to the faith. Someone else much greater than me. I had many plans and aspirations, like I'm sure you did, and maybe you mapped these out, that you were going to do this, you were going to do that, and you're going to take the first step, and life will go this way. You had it all worked out. And you had a desired destination that you were going. But a good shepherd intercepted you on your path. God knew what was best for you. And God still knows what is best for you. Do you believe that? We must rest in this truth. We could not have gotten ourselves where we are today, on this path, in this saving faith. You weren't going there. You couldn't get on this path. The Good Shepherd intercepted you and put you on this path. And only this path ends well. We are safe in this path. We are safe in Him even when the path becomes difficult. Now, in today's text, we're going to make an application of a shepherd who is guiding his sheep along a journey. And the journey has many different places. There's a journey of rest, of comfortability, of pleasure, of stability. There's a place on the journey that is dangerous as well. There are all different situations. There's a place of blessing, a banquet. And there's enemies. But through it all, the shepherd is guiding the sheep on this journey. Now, Psalm 23 is a psalm of David. And David became a shepherd very young in life. He knew something about shepherding. But David came to know something even more about shepherding. He came to know the shepherd of his life, of his soul. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The shepherd of Israel. The good shepherd. David, most assuredly, and can say, as we see in verse 1, that the Lord is my shepherd. As David experienced the Lord's guidance, his protection, his provision, throughout many favorable times in the journey and many unfavorable circumstances as well in this journey. Whether it was during a time of great victory, in 1 Samuel 17 when he slayed Goliath, or whether it be in an unfavorable time in 1 Samuel 21, fleeing to the city of Gath, fleeing from Saul, very afraid, behaving like a madman, through it all, God was with him. And even when he fled from Absalom in 1 and 2 Samuel 15, you have to understand the Lord was David's shepherd, but David experienced many tumultuous times. It was some tough times for this man. And David was precious. He was a precious man in the sight of the Lord. And David had the Lord's favor upon him in many, many ways. But David had hardship. David was not immune to the instabilities of life and the instabilities of his own depraved nature. But he experienced the guiding hand of the Lord. And so many times we read in the Psalms and see throughout his life that through these circumstances he'd come to the end of himself and he'd lift up his voice to the Lord and he would receive safety, provision, guidance, and he would receive victory. David experienced the Lord's guidance firsthand in his life. And he also read the scriptures. And he knew what the shepherd Moses would write about the ultimate shepherd. The ultimate shepherd to the nation of Israel. God reveals himself as shepherd throughout the Old Testament in many places. In Genesis 48, 49 we see it. We see it in Psalm 95, 7. It reads, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand." Echoing the same sentiments in Psalm 103. He was the shepherd of Israel, the shepherd of David. But he wasn't everyone's shepherd. He was not the shepherd of the Egyptians in the sense that he did not protect the Egyptians. He protected his own. In Psalm 78, the psalmist recounts Israel's victory over Egypt. Should I say the shepherd's victory? In Psalm 78, verse 51, "The Lord smote the firstborn of Egypt, but he led forth his own people like sheep, and guided them into the wilderness like a flock. He led them to safety, so they did not fear as the sea engulfed their enemies." Now David knew something about this powerful shepherd, this mighty warrior who fought for him and Israel. David continued to be a shepherd even when he went from his rags to riches story as a king of Israel. Much of what he learned leading sheep he used and leading men. And we see it in his poetry as well, these shepherd motifs. David understood this, that shepherds, that sheep are needy, and shepherds must give them constant care. A shepherd is a sheep's constant companion. And the shepherd needs to know the sheep individually. He needs to know them intimately to properly care for them. All these elements show that the shepherd has a close bond with the sheep. And the sheep, over time, learn to trust their shepherd. They learn to hear His voice, and they learn to follow His voice. David understood that the constant care was needed, and he understood that the Lord, in fact, was his shepherd. Now, this is a very common psalm. And we hear this all over the place. People use this psalm for many situations. Who is this Lord? We alluded to already, it's the God of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we see this word, the Lord. This name is Yahweh, and it points to God's self-existence, His eternality. The self-existent God, therefore, the creator and sustainer of all that exists. The great I Am we see in Exodus 3:14. We see it in Isaiah 44:7. That this God is the first, the last, and besides me, there is no God. David knew this God. David prayed to this God in 1 Chronicles 29:11. And he would make these statements in the prayer. Everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord. You exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. You rule over all. And your hand is power and might. And your hand to make everything great and strengthen people. This was David's God. And David understood that the God of the universe is my shepherd. If you are in Jesus Christ today, the God that gave birth to the universe and sustains the universe is not only your life coach, He is your shepherd. And what He does for you is good. David realized the provision of God in his life by saying, I shall not want. David came to a place of contentment when he understood who this God was, who this shepherd is. To have God is to have contentment. To have Yahweh, you have what you need. It's a pretty good shepherd. I'll just throw it out there to you. I think he can cut it. To have this amazing shepherd should bring to us to a place of satisfaction. To have God as your shepherd, you know your needs will be met. Not all of your wants, but your needs. And understand, this shepherd knows you better than you know yourself. David understood this well. And in Psalm 37:25, David wrote, I've been young, and now I am old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread. David would understand contentment. And he'd read it through Moses as well in Deuteronomy 2:7. And the Lord would write through the shepherd Moses, these 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing. The shepherd is a provider of all sheep under all circumstances. However, there are times when wants and desires come upon a sheep. And throughout the journey, we are prone to wander. But as the sheep gets trained, they experience the shepherd's care. They come to a place of contentment. They come to a place of confidence. They come to a place of trust. And the sheep can be sure, over time perhaps, that the shepherd knows what they need and the shepherd can provide what they need. And only the shepherd ultimately can provide what they need. As the shepherd knows them well. A shepherd always provides the best direction for the sheep. But the sheep must follow the guidance, or they can get lost on the journey. In all matters of life, we need to realize that God supplies all things. He is sufficient. He is good. And we need to experience this through all situations. Yahweh's peace throughout many tumultuous times, through tribulations, through times when things just don't go all that well. Verse 2, He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, green pastures connotes a pleasant place of habitation, a place to settle down, a place where sheep would lie down and rest. The shepherd makes them lie down in a good place, a beneficial place, a safe place of refuge that's designated for the sheep. The green pastures also can connote abundant provision, where a sheep can be fully satisfied and fed. This is something that they cannot get for themselves. Only the shepherd could provide this for them. And we see that he leads me beside quiet waters in verse 2. This is a reference to a place of peace, a place of solace. Literally, this is waters of rest. Throughout his life, David found this shelter in times of calamity, a place of solace and peace in the Lord. And as the shepherd provides much abundance in the material resources that we should not want, I believe we can make the application here that this is a place where the sheep can be ministered to. The shepherd not only meets material needs, but spiritual needs as well. In verse 3, he restores my soul. Spiritual restoration for the spiritual weary. The Lord brings us to a place of spiritual revitalization when he brings us back to himself. In weariness through the journey, he restores us. He quickens us. He brings us back from still waters, restores us to still waters. In verse 3, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. If you have a Bible, write that down. Circle it. For his name's sake. We'll see what that means. From green pastures to still waters, we see another stop on this journey. As the journey commences, he leads his sheep to a place of righteousness. The sheep are helpless to find such a place. This is a prosperous path of righteousness, a path that leads once again to himself. Righteousness should be evidence in the sheep as they go in this path. As it was the good shepherd who changes their destination, and he does this for their own good. He's a caretaker for the sheep. It benefits the sheep to be in paths of righteousness, but he does this not only because he loves his sheep, not only because it's good, for his name's sake. What does this mean, this expression, for his name's sake? For his name's sake essentially means for his own glory, for the good of his sheep and his own glory. Isaiah 43, we see a picture of this. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I've created for my glory, whom I've formed, even whom I've made. God is intimately involved in all the details of your life for your own good and for his ultimate glory. He is a hands-on God. He knows what's best for you. And in verse 4, we see a change in course on this journey once again. Now we see not a path that is peaceful or stable. This is a difficult path. In verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I feel no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You could write this down too in your Bible, circle it. You are with me. Through a dark valley, you may walk. The good shepherd does not avert all dangerous situations. He protects you. He works behind the scenes. But there will be times that you have to walk through a dark valley, and even a valley of the shadow of death. It's in this valley, because he is with you, that you can be comforted. You can be confident. And so, very importantly, you can be courageous. To fear no evil. Understanding who he is gives us courage. Now, to go through this valley of the shadow of death without Him. It is irrational to not be fearful. And if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Lord today, you should be fearful. But through every situation, understanding where I go and where you go, this omniscient, omnipresent God is with you. He is with you on the journey, in the good, what's seemingly peaceful, and in the harder places in life. As we walk through this valley of shadow of death, it's a contrast. And I believe it's a key for the Christian life to know this truth that you are with me. There's a line that we heard quite a bit in the past week. It's a line in a song. Let's see if you know what song this is. Lord, you are who you are, no matter where I am. Does that ring a bell, that line? That's the Casting Crowns song. I want you to consider that line for a minute. Lord, you are with me. You are who you are, no matter where I am. This is an unchangeable God, the immutability of God. This is a sure, fixed, stable God who is your shepherd. David had confidence in this valley of the shadow of death. It was someone else who had confidence. And that is our brother George. He was, as we heard, a man's man. We got that part. The smile. But George did not have the confidence and the courage because he was a man's man. Because he understood, Lord, you are with me. This is very, very important. And I'm sure there was some trepidation in his heart. But this was a man of faith. And he understood something. That God was in control. And he understood where God took him from, and he understood where God was taking him to. And though he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because Yahweh, Shepherd, King of the universe, you are my shepherd, and you are with me. There was a blessed assurance. And if that today, I want to just remind you, whatever the situation is, maybe it's a peaceful time. You should have a blessed assurance. Maybe you're going through the time of your life and it's tough. Have a blessed assurance, for God is with you. He will bring us through some tough times. Now understand, because the Lord is your shepherd does not mean, as I already said this to you, that life will be, I guess the word is all, what is that, all roses? No. No. It'll be all pleasant. It'll be all prosperous, as we see on TV. No. The good shepherd will have to take you sometimes through some rough terrain. In Israel at that time, there were many hills and valleys. And in order for a sheep to get to one place on the journey to the next, they often had to pass through some rocky places. So understand that. But we learn something about the difficult situations, sometimes more in the peaceful. We learn about the Lord's sustaining ability and His ability to deliver us. This is the God of Israel, who delivers us. Consider what the prophet Isaiah writes in Isaiah 43, 1-4. Do not fear. I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush, Sheba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored, and I love you, this is your good shepherd. But like sheep, we are prone to wander, and we could often be stubborn. We may know the truths. We may come to services, after service, get in the Word of God, but then life, the difficult situation comes. And sometimes we want to become our own shepherds. Take matters into our own hands. But the Lord will allow you to go through some situations that are absolutely beyond your control, like He did David. So you must come to the end of yourself and call out to Him. We must rely on our good shepherd. Your rod and your staff comfort me. We continue to read on. A rod and a staff. What is this? The rod and the staff. A picture of the Lord's protection and a picture of the Lord's guidance. In the ancient world, shepherds used to carry a rod and staff to drive away predators, to drive away wild animals that would want to devour sheep. But they also have the staff to corral their own sheep as they would often wander. God protects us from the outside elements, but God often sometimes protects us from ourselves as He guides His sheep. Now, sometimes such guidance is painful, as the sheep are often prodded and poked with the rod and the staff. But sometimes we need His rod and His staff, and this is part of His loving kindness and His mercy. And we ought to follow Him where the Good Shepherd leads. He takes us on some unexpected paths in our journey and through our story. There are some unforeseen conditions. They're only unforeseen to the sheep, to us. They're never unforeseen to Him. Do you know that today? We have to trust in this Lord in all situations. And sometimes we know this in theory, but yet we hold on to our plans. When life changes direction, we want to become independent. We fall in a trap when we stray from our good shepherd. We can never ultimately stray because He'll always corral us back. But sometimes we get confused and we bring pain upon ourselves. And in verse 5, we see another twist in this plot here, where now there is a host, a gracious host. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. As this journey shifts, the scene shifts. And now it's the Lord who becomes a gracious host. And His guests sit down to have a meal. It's a picture of the generous hospitality and provision of God shown to His guest. It's a picture of blessing bestowed upon the attendant of this banquet. And you've anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Cup overflowing is the abundant provision of God. You anointed my head with oil. This is a special treatment for a guest of honor. It connotes blessing. But we also see here enemies in this verse. I don't know who these enemies exactly are. It doesn't say, but I have a couple of theories perhaps. Understand, whoever they were, whomever it is, they were unable to prevent the guests from enjoying God's generous hospitality. Maybe God did this in this picture. Maybe this is a sense of vindication, a picture of vindication to David. Maybe this is answered prayer that the Lord is impressing upon David in this verse. Understand that David had many enemies. David's foes mocked him. They mocked his trust in Yahweh. And for years, David would cry out. We see it in Psalm 13, 1 and 2. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? Perhaps there were times he knew the hand of the shepherd, but as a human like us, he may have said, Lord, how long will you allow my enemies to triumph over me? But David had God's blessing. And David also had much opposition. David never had, the man after God's own heart, nor will you ever have a spiritual utopia on this side of eternity just because he's your shepherd. Please understand that. He will give you divine protection, but he will not eradicate all our foes at this present time. But there will be a place, there will be a time when we will have all the foes eradicated and a far greater banquet than we even read in this verse. In verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all my days. Just as the Lord has given us victory and has vindicated us, now there'll be a future vindication. He has given us something, a now and later promise of everlasting goodness, of goodness and loving kindness, which is actually mercy translated. God is perfectly good in his character and flawlessly good in his actions. And he gives his sheep, he gives his attendees of this banquet good things. He is good to his beloved flock. He's so good that he laid down his life for his sheep. Goodness and loving kindness will follow me all of my days. Now, tomorrow, and forever. You have goodness. You have him. You have mercy, loving kindness. You have him if you are in Christ. That should put some wind in our sails, huh? Throughout the week. The highs, the lows of life, the joys, the tears, they will all come upon us. The good situations, the happy situations, the unhappy situations. His goodness and loving kindness is with us. Make no mistake. We see it now, but we'll see it later. I could make a comparison. I was going to think about something to tell you, but I won't. When you go home, read Revelation 21. You do that on your own. Have that time for yourself. There's nothing that can compare to that, but the word ministered to you on that. Now, in Psalm 23, we see this psalm today through new covenant lenses, as Pastor George often tells us. Who is this shepherd? This is the good shepherd we opened up with. This is Jesus. In John 10, it's Jesus declaring that he is the shepherd of the sheep. This is the eternal God. This is a divine God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 10:4, when he has brought all his own, he goes before them. He's brought out his own. He goes before them. And the sheep follow him. Why? Because the sheep know his voice. In John 10:7, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. In John 10:11, a famous I am statement, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. In John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and understand this. I know my own, and my own know me. The irony of this psalm is that David was a shepherd who understood his role as a sheep. And we also see this with Jesus Christ, who was also a sheep. A sheep led out to the slaughter, as Isaiah 53:7. Says, like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before his shearers, he did not open his mouth. Charles Spurgeon has a very interesting perspective on Psalm 23. I'm going to read it for you. It's a quote. The position of this psalm is very worthy of notice. It follows the 22nd, the Psalm of the Cross. He says, there are no green pastures or still waters on the other side of the 22nd Psalm. It's only after we have read, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, that we come to know the Lord is my shepherd. We must experience and know the value of bloodshed and see the sword awakened against the shepherd. In Psalm 23, God provided David, and he provides you here today with the assurance that he will watch you, with the assurance that he will provide for you. He'll supply every need, and that he cares for you. Do you know he knows what you need? Do you know he knows what is best for you? The psalm establishes his presence in our life in the midst of affliction and adversity. God will lead all of his people through all circumstances. As I conclude, I have a question for you. Are you more comfortable with the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you maybe struggle with him as your shepherd? I want you to consider that. Have you accepted his salvation, but do you sometimes resist his guiding? Are you holding on to plans a bit too tightly at this time in your life? While the Lord, you know, is in the process of changing some plans, do you trust that he will supply every need according to his riches and glory in Christ? Philippians 4:19. Do you believe that? Do you know it internally? Are things not happening the way you want them to happen? Understand something, child of God. You have to decipher needs and wants. He knows what we need. Doesn't always give us what we want. Perhaps you struggle with these things, like you know he's overseeing your life, but there were just a couple, one too many things that took you by surprise, and now you want to kind of navigate your life back. You want to kind of be your own shepherd. You want to take matters into your own hands. Now, we are a people, as we looked at last week, who are not to sit back in passivity. The Christian life is an active life. It's an active faith. We are to be serving him. We are to be doers of the word. But understand one thing. You do what he's called you to do, but only he can get you to where you need to be. He's gotten you this far. You weren't getting here without him. And you're not going to make it without him. He'll be with you. He'll be with you. Rest in that. Trust him in that. And what he does for you is good. He is the author of your story, as we sung. The sustainer and the finisher of your faith. And he's been good to you. He's been good to me. He's been faithful as well. He's a good shepherd who will guard your soul. He'll guard your life. For his name's sake. For your good. But for his name's sake. He's got an investment in this. And your story will end well. Follow the good shepherd. Let us pray. Father God, give us the faith, Lord. Refine us. Refine the faith, Lord. Impart on us, Lord, the faith that is needed at this time for some of us here in this room. Help us, Lord, to trust. Help us, Lord, to rejoice knowing that you are with us. Oh, God, thank you that you are with us. May you be glorified in our lives. Amen.